I wanted to kind of set the stage, as I try to do each time, as far as why we're here. So there's investments in the meal and in the time that's put together here. And faith-based mentoring exists to primarily help ex-offenders become productive members of society and followers of Jesus Christ. And so we hope that that's why everyone's here, to contribute to that. I kind of, another way of saying it is, we don't want to see you go back to jail or prison. We want to see you end your interactions with the court successfully. We want to, for you to be relatively independent and put you in a position to help others, or to be in a position to help others. We want to see you deal with your addiction through recovery. And then we want to we want you to surrender your will and accept Jesus' gift of salvation and serve him wholeheartedly. And we want you to solidly grow for many years so you can lead in this ministry. And then we want to spend eternity in heaven with you. And so we have different resources that we can help you with if that's your goal also. This hour and a half that we have is great, and it's good to build relationships and be together. But that's not going to take care of as you're moving forward. And so we'd be happy to work with you. Just talk to us. We have a lot of resources and ideas and options for people. So tonight I want to do something a little bit different. It's interesting with this makeup, and I was trying to decide whether to continue on with this topic or not. And I decided to go ahead and do that anyway, is to ask the question, how do you get to heaven? And so I was just... We'll talk about that tonight. We're not going to cover everything in detail. We could spend weeks covering things like this, but we're going to hit the highlights and hopefully give you something to go away with when we leave. I was watching a YouTube video, and they went on the street and asked people, how do you get to heaven? And I just wrote down some of the answers. I think everyone gets to heaven. Next person said, I don't believe there is a heaven. Be a nice person. There's lots of ways. Be yourself. By the mercy of God. I have no idea. I'm not sure yet. It depends on what you believe. Jesus. And I have no clue. And I was just thinking about that. It's such an important topic for there to be so much confusion about it. And so I wanted to try to clear up some of that confusion tonight, because it is such an important question. It determines how we live here on earth, and it also, more importantly, or as importantly, where we spend eternity. And so it's interesting if you ask questions. So I don't know what's going on in your mind in regard to that, but I wanted to take a minute. I have some 3x5 cards here. Julius, I'll let you, if you pass one out to each person, and then I have some pens. And so if you could write on one side and just take a minute and write a brief answer to how you get to heaven. So if someone on the street asks you that question, what would you say? And okay, yep. So you can write it down, and we'll, because you'll have an opportunity at the end of this to do the same thing on the other side, and we can talk about any differences. So we talked last week about the law of God, and it's important. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. And we talked about that, what that means. And the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And it goes on and says that in different ways in Psalm 19. But God's laws are pure. The way he set things up, they're right. And so... It'll be interesting as you write this, and I'll stop talking for a few seconds and give you a chance to do this, to think about it. And you're not going to be graded. We're not going to pass them in and read them, and nobody's going to get put on the spot. This will just be just for yourself. If someone on the street asked you how to get to heaven, how would you? So we'll just keep going with this, and you can continue to write if you want, again, briefly or ever. But as I was thinking about this, and if we kind of step back, the only real answer to this is what God says in the Bible. He's in charge. And so whatever he says goes. And and so it's his world, and it's his heaven, and he makes the rules. And so it's important for us to search that out and find out what he set up. And again, it's an important question, and we have the opportunity to seek the answer to that. And so whether we agree or not, whether we think it's fair or not, it is the way it is. And so we'll talk about some of that. And so to take a minute and think about and look at what the Bible says, and we'll go through some things here. First of all, why can't we all just go to heaven? And it's a question that people ask, and some people think everyone does go to heaven. In Romans 3:10, it says, "As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23, the first part of it, and we'll read the second part later, but it says, "For the wages of sin is death." And so the sin earns death. Just like you go to work and you earn money, from our sinful life, we earn death. Matthew 25:41 says, "Then he will say to those on the left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Hell. And so it's serious stuff. And there's lots of other verses. And again, I can't go over all of them, but I want to hit some of them. So I have a story that I've, there's a book that I've taken a couple stories from. It's called God's Love for the Rest of Us. There's a gentleman, a pastor named Vince Iannucci. He's from Las Vegas. When we went out to Las Vegas a couple times for business and for vacation and whatever, we don't, anyway, I'll, I'm not, yeah, whatever. I'm not a gambler. I just stand by and amaze, where did they get all that money to build those beautiful buildings? And they weren't going to get it from me, but it's an amazing place. But he's got a church. And so I took some stuff from his, from the book that he wrote here called God's Love for the Rest of Us, a couple stories. We will keep going forward after that.
Azim, an Arab follower of Jesus and a friend of mine, was sharing the gospel recently with a taxi driver in his country. The driver believed that he would pay for his sin for a little while in hell, but then he would surely go to heaven after that. After all, he hadn't done too many bad things. So Azim said to him, "If I slapped you in the face, what would you do to me?" The driver replied, "I would throw you out of my taxi." Azim continued, "If I went up to a random guy in the street and slapped him in the face, what would he do to me?" The driver said, "Well, he'd probably call his friends and beat you up." Azim asked, "What if I went up to a policeman and slapped him in the face? What would he do to me?" The driver replied, "You would be beat up for sure and then thrown into jail." Finally, Azim posed this question, "What if I went to the king of this country and slapped him in the face? What would happen to me then?" The driver looked at Azim and awkwardly laughed. He told Azim, "You would die." To this, Azim said, "So you see, the severity of sin's punishment is always a reflection of the position of the person who is sinned against." The driver thus realized that he had been severely underestimating the seriousness of his sin against God. We all tend to do that. We don't understand our own sinfulness, partly because we don't understand God's holiness.
So we find ourselves, because we're sinners, we find ourselves in an interesting position, and a challenging position, because we're sinners, and there's really nothing that we can do to make it right. And so we're in a tough position because of the way God has things set up for us. Because we're sinners, we deserve death and punishment. And so even the good things that we do don't remove that. Just like the same thing, if you stood before a judge, he would take into consideration the good things that you did, but the fact that you sinned or broke a law, you still have to take the punishment. And that's the position that we're in. And it's a tough position. But there's good news, and God made a way because he loves us so much to help us, to get us out of that position. He's provided a solution, and it's called the gospel or good news. And he's provided this because he loves us so much. So what is this good news? I think we're all familiar with John 3:16 that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So there is a way that we can have everlasting life if we believe. So we do have a way out. Acts 4:12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And Jesus is that name. And Jesus is the only way that we can get to heaven. 1 John 5:12 says, "Whoever has the Son has life." In the beginning of that, the second part says, "Whoever does not have the Son does not have life." And it's critical. Romans 6:23, we read the beginning of it, which says the wages of sin is death. But the second part of that verse says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we must believe in Jesus. And so what is that about? 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." So he was righteous, and he suffered our punishment for us, the unrighteous. So God, Jesus came down to earth and took our punishment that we couldn't handle, and that price had to be paid. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might have the righteousness of God." And then Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So Jesus died in our place. And it's similar to if you get sentenced to death, or even get sentenced in something to go to prison, for someone to stand up and take your place. And that's what Jesus did for us. And so we become no longer guilty. Jesus served our sentence and the debt has been paid. I have another story for you here from this book. And we'll go ahead and do that.
I have this theory that when we come into existence, a piece of paper comes into existence along with us. This paper has a line drawn down the middle. Mine, for instance, has "good things Vince has done" on one side and "bad things Vince has done" on the other. Your sheet has your name. Throughout our lives, we've been putting things on the good side. Like me, for instance. Once when I was little, I drew my mom a nice picture. That goes on the good side. And I've been nice to lots of people. Put that on the good side. And I've helped out quite a few people in different ways. That goes over there. I'm usually pretty nice to my wife. You can ask her. Chalk another up for Vince. I had a dog I took pretty good care of. Put that down. I've started 2 churches. That must be good. And I've got some other things on the good side. But you know what? Throughout my life, I've also been putting things on the bad side. There were lots of times when I disobeyed my mom. I guess that goes on the bad side. I've been accused a few times of being a jerk to people. I can't deny it. That's on the bad side. I would be ashamed to tell you some of the things that I've done to people. I won't get specific, but those go on the bad side. There have been times when, in anger, I have intentionally made my wife feel bad about herself. Bad side. At least once or twice, in frustration, I kicked my dog. That has to go on the bad side. Footnote, if I had kicked a cat, I'm not sure which side it would go on. I kid. I helped start 2 churches that have done well, but sometimes I take some of the glory for myself when I know it's God who has done it all. That goes there. Each of us has a sheet like that. The more honest of us would admit that our list of bad things would require reams of paper. So someday you stand before God on Judgment Day. He asks, "Why should I let you into my perfect heaven?" You have your sheet. He takes it from you and starts looking it over. He says, "Well, these good things are good. I loved watching when you chose to love and do good. I'm proud of you. I'm glad you did those things. But what about this side?" you say, yeah, but did you notice I was in Girl Scouts? I sold a lot of Thin Mints. And what about that time I... And God says, yes, I know. But what about this side? You've got quite a list here of bad things. And you see, even if you just had one bad thing on your list, I couldn't possibly let you in because my heaven is a perfect place. I'm sorry. See, we each have a recording of our good things and bad things. And the bad things side is the part that puts us in a really bad situation. But check this out. Jesus came and lived on the earth for about 33 years. In his life, he also had a sheet. One side said, good things Jesus has done. The other, bad things Jesus has done. In his life here on earth, Jesus just piled good things on the good things side. Healed leper, showed grace to immoral tax collector, fed 5,000 hungry people. Jesus had a tremendous good side. But what's truly remarkable is that under bad things Jesus has done, there's nothing. Jesus was absolutely sinless. He was the one and only person to live an entire life on earth without missing the perfection mark. In fact, the people who spent the most time with Jesus and who would have most clearly seen his sin, if he ever did sin, asserted that he was sinless. His buddy John wrote in 1 John 3, verse 5, there is no sin in him. His close friend Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, verse 22, he never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. Even Jesus' enemies agreed that he was without sin. At Jesus' trial, Pontius Pilate said, this man has not sinned. At Jesus' crucifixion, the military official in charge stated, this is a righteous man. We're told it repeatedly. Jesus never sinned. He had nothing under bad things Jesus has done. That's why God can make his grace offer, which so many of us misunderstand. Let me try to explain it. Picture an old movie with a mad scientist as a character. He has a man strapped into a bed. Strapped into another bed is a duck. Both have wires taped to their heads. Lightning strikes, the mad scientist pulls a lever, and some electric buzzing happens. Suddenly, the man is going quack, 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 and the duck says, the hypotenuse of a right angle. You realize that somehow there was a switch. Here's God's offer. God says, despite the fact that you have rebelled against me and fallen far short of my standard of perfection, I love you. You aren't perfect, but my love for you is. It's impossible for you to take away the bad things you've done or to add enough good things to your list to make up for all the bad things. But because of my love for you, I want to offer you a gift. The gift is this. I will switch the sheets. If you will accept my gift of grace, I will go back in time to the cross, to the moment when my son was crucified, and I will switch your sheets. So your sheet, Jesus' sheet, switched. God says through his death on the cross, Jesus will take all your sin, and you will receive his perfect bad things side. I will look at you from now on in this life on Judgment Day and through all eternity as if you've never sinned. If you accept this grace gift I'm offering to you, I will switch your sheets.
So just the position we are in as far as being sinful and needing a Savior, and then what Christ did as far as coming and dying and switching sheets with us. And so we have his righteousness, we have his sheet instead of that, and it's just an amazing gift, and that's why it's the good news and the gospel. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And so a lot of people say, I go to heaven because I do good. And this says no. And it's not. We can't earn this. We can do nothing to deserve it. It's a free gift. It's not because of things we have done or will do. It's not because we think we are good. It's because God loves us so much. And it's just, it doesn't necessarily make any sense. And if it doesn't make sense to you, I agree. And it doesn't make sense to me either, but I like it. We have to believe, and that's critical that we believe. It's Romans 10:9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Acts 16:31 is talking to the jailer's family, and it says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. So we need to believe that Jesus is God, that he was sinless and died on the cross, taking the punishment that we deserve, so we are no longer guilty. I wrote out that story, so I'm flipping past it. So the story was a great explanation for what Jesus did on the cross. But we do have to believe, and believe means to put one's faith in trust, with an implication that actions based on the trust may follow. Belief then encompasses more than just knowing about Jesus. One must act on this knowledge, combining faith and trust and acting on it. You can't really believe and not do things differently. And you can't. We all know that. And so it's easy to say, oh, I believe. But anybody who believes, actions follow, and because it affects what you do. We must also repent. And that's what it says consistently in the Bible, to believe and repent. And repent. In Mark 1:14-15, it says, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time was fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Luke 5:32 says, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Luke 13:3 says, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And repent means to turn from your way to God's ways. It means to change the way you think and change the way you act and react. And so it's a turning. And again, if you believe, you'll repent. And so to summarize this, how do we get to heaven? And it's fairly simple. We believe, you have to believe that you're a sinner and need a Savior. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and accept and be thankful for the sacrifice that he made for you and the amazing gift that he gave you that you can't earn. And then repent and turn from your way of thinking and acting to follow him. So it's fairly simple. Another way of saying this is we see this in songs a lot, it's not what I've done, but what Jesus did. And so what happens next? Let's say that you do decide that you want to go to heaven and you accept this amazing gift of salvation and you believe and repent. You begin a relationship with Jesus, who is God, that will last for eternity, forever. So you start that relationship now. His Spirit will live inside of you to be a mentor or a counselor to help you on this journey. You will struggle. I've heard people say, oh, I've been a Christian and for 5 years now, and why is it still so hard? And life is hard, and life will continue to be hard. Even though you're a Christian, God uses the things that are difficult in our lives to help us to grow. You will struggle. Life will often be difficult. You will not always do what you should do, but he will lovingly forgive you when you ask, and you can depend on him and his strength. You will live the best life here on earth and spend eternity in heaven with God and others. What if you don't decide that you want to go to heaven? You may do some good things, but you will continue to do destructive things that will continue either now, it will continue to, or soon. Sometimes the consequences don't catch up with you. But the destructive things that you do, eventually your life will be a train wreck. And you won't live the life you were created to live. You'll be a slave to sin and experience the consequences. You won't have God's Spirit living in you to help you follow God's laws and live the best life possible. And this is a tough one. You'll spend eternity in hell. And eternity is forever. There's no what happens after eternity. There is nothing after eternity. So you can make this decision to believe, repent, and accept the gift of Jesus dying in your place. You can get to heaven. Talk to one of us if you want further about this. And you can truly know how to get to heaven. So if someone asks you that question on the street or wherever, or you have that discussion, you can know what God says in regard to you going to heaven. Whether you decide or not, by all means, you should understand the answer to that question. There shouldn't be any confusion. God loves you so much and wants to have a great relationship with you starting right now. and you have that opportunity. So what I would encourage you to do now, just from an exercise standpoint, and then we can have discussion, and yeah, it's funny what that clock does, isn't it, Dave? is to turn your card over, and based on what I've talked about here tonight, write, again, the answer, whatever you want to write in regard, if someone asks you a question, how do I get to heaven? How does one get to heaven? And if there's any differences between what was on the, what you originally wrote to what now, based on what was said tonight.